If you would, please turn to Proverbs 31. We read, beginning at verse 10, down to the end of this chapter. Proverbs 31, verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's go to our God together in prayer this evening. Lord, it is good to be together. We rejoice in this time we have to worship you through song, as we have sung, Lord, your truth, as we've thought about your word in terms of who you are and what you've done for us, and we've expressed this in singing. It's a blessing. And now, Lord, we turn our attention to your word as it is conveyed through preaching, and we ask your blessing in this place and in this hour. Apart from your working, Lord, apart from your power, apart from your Spirit's activity and movement and working in this place, this would be a time that's vain. And so we do not rely upon the arm of the flesh, Lord. We look to you to accomplish something in our lives, in our hearts this evening that only the living God could do. We pray for the blessing of your church. We pray for the blessing of our homes. We also pray, Lord, for the salvation of those in this place who don't know your Son. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you've loved us. You've given us life. You've given us a heart that desires to do your will. These things, Lord, were not ours from birth. These are things that you granted to us through salvation. We thank you for your mercies that are great toward us. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. As I told you this morning, this evening we begin a series of sermons dealing with the subject, biblical manhood, womanhood, marriage, and family. And I come to this series with a special burden on my heart, a great burden on my heart. We are witnessing a culture in which there is a disintegrating clarity when it comes to God-given male and female identity. As a result, there's a disintegrating clarity when it comes to the God-given roles of men and women in the home, in marriage, when it comes to a biblical approach to family life. And in a world that casts off the knowledge of God, all that's left is chaos, confusion, even about who we are as men and women, confusion, lies, heartache, devastation. I'd love to be able to say that this is only being witnessed outside the community of those who claim to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But unfortunately, the truth is, from where I sit tonight, from the perspective of someone who has now served as a pastor for over 30 years, the assault on the family, the assault on marriages, the assault on a right view of men and women is taking place in the church also. I felt this burden as a young husband and father. God was gracious to give Jackie and I 4 children, 3 sons and a daughter, and I felt the burden as a young father that I wanted my sons and my daughter to grow up with a biblical view of who they are as young men and women now, also a biblical view of what their families would look like. As a young pastor, I desired that the church would know the Word of God on this subject and embrace God's vision, God's Word, God's truth for family life. And here I am now at the next stage of life. God blessed us just this week with our 2nd grandchild. As Nathan and Amber were blessed to have Genesis come into the world. And so now I'm seeing my children marry, and they have their own families, and I see the next generation, even within our church. I see these ones that I taught at children's camp. Now they're getting married and having children. What's wrong? You know, what's up with that? Is something wrong? And so you see this, and I could just tell you tonight that my burden has not decreased, my burden has increased. It is vital that in the church, these truths are being taught. And it's vital not only that they would have the biblical information, it's vital that they would be able to witness these things lived out. That they would be able to visualize God's truth in action in real human lives. And so for all of us who now are beyond childbearing years, all of us who are getting older, it is incumbent upon us that we invest in the next generation, that we teach these truths to the next generation. I would also tell you this evening that I come to the particular text we come to with a great thankfulness in my heart, because I believe the Lord has been gracious to me and given to me a wife who embodies the qualities that we'll be learning about in verses 10 through 31. She's not the perfection of this. There is no woman who is the perfection of this, but these things are characteristic of her. And that's God's grace to her, and that's God's grace to me. And I share this not just to praise her, though I'm very proud of her. I share this because my wife is a first-generation Christian in terms of her family. She was raised in a non-Christian home. She came to Christ in her late teenage years. And so I share this to encourage anyone who's not been raised in a Christian home, any woman who's not been raised with this being set before you as a model. My wife didn't have this kind of model, and so it is good to know you have Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Word of God. And if this is to begin with you, if this is to begin with your marriage, your home, your family, that's God's will as a believer, that it would begin with you in terms of your own family history. You have everything you need in Christ for life and godliness. You have everything you need to live this out. God has given you a new nature. He has given you the capacity for truth, and He's given you the desire to be what God wants you to be. He will produce these things in your life as long as you desire it and you're teachable. So tonight what we're going to do is begin by looking at verses 10 through 12. So these 3 verses serve sort of as a summary of everything that's going to be expressed down to verse 31. And then next Sunday night we'll come back and finish the rest of what is an acrostic poem. In the Hebrew text, each of these verses begins with the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Begins with Aleph in verse 10, it ends with Tau in verse 31. So each verse is the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. This is not only God's truth being communicated to us, but in a way that is very skillful. And Duane Garrett has made the case that this is also chiastic in its organization. And if he's right, and I tend to think that he is, then verse 23 is the centerpiece of this acrostic poem. And verse 23 says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." Why would her husband, being recognized in such a way, known in such a way, why would this be at the center of this poem? Well, what the Lord is saying to us is, sir, if you want to be successful in life, this is the kind of wife you need to marry. If you want to be successful in life, this is the kind of woman that you need to pray for and look for and settle on when it comes to marriage. In fact, something interesting, if we think about this series, we're going to talk about biblical manhood, womanhood, and marriage and family. If I were to ask you, is Proverbs 31 verses 10 through 31 instruction that would fall more into the category of instruction for women, or does it fall into the category of instruction for men? How would you tend to categorize it? I think we all tend to think immediately about instruction for women, but when you look at these verses, this is really given to us in a way that this is instruction for a son. This is instruction for men. This is saying to men, this is the kind of woman who is excellent, who is virtuous, who is desirable. This is the kind of woman you want to marry. Now, obviously, that becomes instruction then for godly women. This is for men and women. But I say to all the young men here this evening, this is the kind of wife you need to pray for, look for, and trust the Lord for, wait for. So we look at verses 10 through 12 tonight. Let's read those verses again. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. We're going to talk this evening about the grace of an excellent wife, verse 10, the benefits of an excellent wife, verse 11, and the faithfulness of an excellent wife, verse 12. The grace of an excellent wife, the benefits of an excellent wife, and the faithfulness of an excellent wife. The Hebrew noun translated excellent there in the ESV in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. That word is used 244 times in the Old Testament. Its basic meaning is strength. Strength. In fact, some have translated it valor. When it's used of a woman, it's translated in a way that communicates virtue. So if you think about strengths that are found in manhood, and then you take those strengths that might be physical in nature, etc., and you turn that into a view of someone's character, that's what you have in verse 10. This is a woman of strong character. This is a woman of virtue. This is a woman who is excellent in that sense. It's used of Ruth in Ruth 3:11. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. Same word, a worthy woman. It's used in Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who brings shame is like rottenness in the bones. So a wife who is a crown to her husband, a worthy woman, a strong woman, a virtuous woman, this is the woman being described in verse 10. And notice that he puts it this way, who can find? An excellent wife, who can find? The emphasis here is not that this kind of wife is never found, but the surpassing value of this kind of wife. She is compared in verse 10 to precious jewels. She's far more precious than jewels. Precious things, valuable things, such as precious jewels, are not common. And so what he's stressing is her value, her rarity. And by extension, and comparatively speaking, relatively speaking, she is difficult to find. So that when a man has an excellent wife, a virtuous wife, how did he get this wife? How did he get this wife? Proverbs 19:14 says, "House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." How does a man find an excellent wife? The answer is, she is a gift to him from God. She's a gift from God. Men, if you tonight have an excellent wife, a godly wife, give thanks to God. In fact, what runs through every other description of her in verses 10 through 31, the core thing that is true about this woman is found in verse 30. Notice what it says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." This woman is a woman who fears God. And we know where that comes from. When someone fears the Lord, when someone has reverence for God, when someone loves God, when someone is sensitive to His Word and to His will and longs to be everything God wants to make that person, this is the result of salvation. And so the excellent wife is provided by God. If we ask, how does God provide this wife? He provides her first by His saving work in her life. He provides her by saving her. And then in His providence, He brings her into her husband's life. And so by saving work and by providence, God provides such a wife for a husband. It's because she fears the Lord that she cares about her Creator's design for her life. It is the fear of the Lord that makes her care about her Creator's standards, her Creator's laws and statutes. She doesn't measure herself by the world's standards for women. She measures herself by her Creator's standards for her life because she fears the Lord. And so before she ever becomes the excellent wife for the man to whom God gifts her, she is a daughter of God. She is a servant of God. Today we can say she is a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is why she is an excellent woman. And the wonder of such a wife is that sometimes she becomes this after she has married her husband. There are men, perhaps even in this room, you've been married to one woman your entire life, but you've been married to two very different kinds of wives. It's like having two wives in one marriage. Because when you and your wife got married, she was not a believer, and then the Lord saved her, and now you have another wife, as it were, though you have this one woman, another wife because of the change that the Lord has wrought in her life. Sanctification is a progressive work, but the new birth happens at a moment in time. And unless a woman is born again, you can set before her God's will for women. You can set before her what the Word of God teaches about being a wife and about being a mother. But if this woman doesn't have a desire in her heart for those things, she'll never receive them. She'll never embrace them. She'll never have the capacity to live out what we learn in these verses. And so sometimes what happens is even you have a woman who professes faith in Jesus, she gets married, she has no heart for these things, and then after marriage, the Lord saves her. And now you have a woman who becomes this excellent wife because she has a desire to live out what the Bible teaches about her life and about her marriage and about her family. So the first thing we can say about her is she's a treasure, she's valuable. And she is God's gift to a husband, an excellent wife who can find. Well, the Lord provides her, and she's far more precious than jewels. Her worth, her value surpasses anything material that a person could ever gain. Second, notice the benefits of this wife, verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. He trusts in her. His heart trusts in her. And this is just a general statement as to her faithfulness. She is trustworthy. He trusts in her in every way, in every realm of their lives together. His heart trusts in her. And it's a safe trust, if she's an excellent woman. It's a safe trust. He will not be disappointed. Into verse 11, he will have no lack of gain. This indicates that his trust in her is not just with respect to immaterial things, but also in the realm of material things. When it comes to the life they share together, even in the material realm, he is able to entrust to her so many different things, and his heart is safe in that trust. She's a trustworthy woman. She's an asset to him. She's an asset to him. He will have no lack of gain. The word translated gain there is interesting that it's used here, and some have debated about why it's used here. Because it's a word that speaks of plunder. Some have translated it booty. It's what you would gain after war, for example. Why would the Word of God say here, he will have no lack of gain as he trusts in her, his heart trusts in her? Well, I think the idea is due to her industrious nature. And that's going to be emphasized in verses 13 through 19, because she's this industrious woman. She goes out into the world, and what she brings back in the context of their family life, what she brings back in is an asset to him. Through her industrious nature, he is benefited. He has no lack of gain. She's an asset to their home. Now, I want to say something here that I know will be controversial with some, but I'm going to say it because I know it to be right, and I can defend it from God's Word. We are living right now in a time when women are being told that their true value, their sense of worth, their sense of meaning is to be measured in a way independent of their husband and independent of their children. Woman, if you want to know value, if you want to know meaning, you need to think in these sorts of terms, I don't need a man. And so you think about your life, I'm talking now to married women. You think about your life, though you're married, in a way in which your sense of value, your sense of meaning is independent of your marriage and independent of raising children. In fact, the so-called old view, the so-called traditional view, that a woman's worth of work and service is measured in terms of her family, in terms of her home life, we're being told this is like a heavy, oppressive weight around the necks of women. This takes away your sense of freedom and joy. And this is being presented not just with words, but it's being presented through popular media. It's being presented through movies and television shows. In fact, it is not uncommon more and more for the message to be this: it is perfectly acceptable and appropriate that a man should think in terms of joining his wife's life. You being her support, finding your meaning by devoting yourself to the home and children while she takes on the role that was once traditionally thought to be the responsibility of men. And so we hear today of stay-at-home dads while women leave the home, go into the workforce, and he basically serves as her helper. All of this is absolutely contrary to the biblical picture. God made Eve to be a helper for Adam, one that corresponded to him, Genesis 2:18. The biblical vision is one in which two lives are joined together. The man loves and cherishes and values his wife. She is the object of his respect and admiration. She is someone whom he treats as precious as his own life. And he understands that she is as valuable and precious in the sight of God as he is. But the Bible is clear that in this complementary relationship, the man is the head in this relationship, and his wife is his God-ordained helper. And in this life of mutual support, a wife finds her greatest sense of significance and her greatest sense of joy by serving the living God, devoting herself to her husband, to her children, and to their home. That's God's design. That's God's plan. In fact, the responsibility for provision has been given to husbands, and a wife is meant to help her husband. And her devotion is given primarily to the home. And if God chooses not to grant children to this union through birth or through adoption, if God chooses not to grant children to the marriage union, there are other ways that she'll live out biblical womanhood outside of raising children. But nonetheless, what she must never do is reject God's vision for masculinity and femininity. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says this: "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine." This is sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-control, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train. And in this way, train the young women to love their husbands and children. What are older women to be teaching younger women? But that this is how you honor God. This is sound doctrine. This is Christian truth. That you love your husband and your children. To be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands. Get this, church, that the word of God may not be reviled. What happens when the church of Jesus Christ loses its way in family life and we begin to embody what is a demonically inspired, man-made wisdom when it comes to the roles of men and women, to gender identity and how that works itself out in marriage and home life, when we cast off the Word of God and embrace the world's doctrine, what happens is that truth is reviled because the Christian home begins to look just the same as that of a lost and dying world full of all the chaos and all the destruction that belongs to a world engulfed in sin. She is an asset. She is a benefit to this husband. He will have no lack of gain, but this does not mean that their roles are to be confused in terms of provision and what is the wife's primary role in terms of her devotion, that is home life. And when this woman, this excellent wife, finishes her course, she will have praise from God preeminently, but the Bible teaches she'll also have praise from her husband and praise from her children. The fruit of her labors will praise her. Look at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. The message is, when you obey God, when you embrace His vision for these things, the end result, the fruit, will have its own testimony. The Lord will be honored and godly women will be exalted. Men, I want to encourage us tonight. Listen to me. Listen to me in view of what we've just read and what we've just heard. Do not encourage your wife to trade the value of a life devoted to your family for a life devoted to a few extra dollars. Do not encourage your wife to trade a life devoted to your family for the passing, deceptive treasure of a larger house or a nicer car or a few extra times eating out. Don't play the fool. Listen to God's Word as He guides us into where her desires and focus are to be, where she serves the Lord in terms of your home life. So we see she's a gift from God. She's a rare, precious gift from God, verse 10, and she is of great benefit to her husband. The heart of her husband trusts in her. He entrusts much to her. She's a faithful woman who can be trusted with what is assigned to her, and the result of it is he will have no lack of gain. She's a great asset to his life and to their home. And then notice verse 12, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. The faithfulness of an excellent wife. She serves the living God. She blesses her husband and family in the ways that we've just talked about. And she does this for a lifetime. That's what's set before us in verse 12. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. What a woman this is who is faithful to God in these ways and faithful to her husband in these ways for her whole life. What a joy, what a grace, what a blessing to have a wife who has loved you and been faithful to you and been loyal to you and been a blessing to you. She's done you good. She's not done you harm from the time of your youth to the time of your old age. And I just want to stand here tonight and tell the younger generation that I stand as a witness to the sweetness of this. And I know there are many, I say many, there are some, I'm getting older, so there are some in this place who surpass Jackie and I in terms of years. But in my own case, I have the joy of the memories of a 19-year-old young man marrying an 18-year-old young woman. We were married the day after she graduated from high school. Teenagers, shut your ears at that point. I know parents don't want me to say that. But God gave us four children before we reached the age of 30. And I have the memories of many times of financial leanness, many challenges in terms of life and ministry. I began to serve full-time in ministry when I was 19 years old. So Jackie and I have now been married 30 years. It'll be 31 years in May. We have times together where there was birth and there was life. We have times together where there was death and there was loss. And I have sad memories of times when I could have been, should have been, wish I would have been a better husband to her than I have been. But through it all, I have been blessed by God to have the great gift of an excellent wife, a wife who has loved me because she has loved God. And she has loved our children because she has loved God. This is God's grace to her. As we saw this morning, this is not explained by her. And this is God's grace to me. And this has been an immeasurable treasure to my life, an immeasurable benefit to my life and to my children's lives. And one day now in the future, to the lives of our grandchildren. And I testify to you that it is sweet. And I also testify to you that if you listen to the wisdom of this world and you reject the vision that is set before you in Scripture, you will lose the sweetness you could have known by embracing God's Word. And you'll know the heartache and the loss and the devastation that a world knows whenever it jettisons God's Word. What I'm saying to you throughout this series, we just begin tonight, just in a very general way to say, this is God's plan for men and women. This is God's plan for family life. What I'm saying to us this evening is, listen to your Creator. He made us. And may we desire to be everything He's willing to make us. Let us submit our hearts, let us submit our lives to His design. Don't listen to the world. Listen to the Word of God. What has God said? Let's bow together for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You that You have not only made us, but You have given us Your Word that we might know how we are to function, who we are, how we're to live. And we thank You tonight, we who have been redeemed, we who have been saved by Your grace through faith in Your Son, we thank You that You've given us hearts that desire to know the truth and desire to walk in the truth. You've given us a capacity, Lord, for this. And I just pray that we as a church would receive deep into our hearts what is the truth, that we would believe it with all of our hearts, and we would hold fast to it regardless of what goes on around us in this culture, regardless of what has become fashionable and acceptable in our world. Lord, let us be a people who are recognizable by our devotion to Your Word. You and You alone, Lord, know what is best for us. I pray for the women in our congregation that, Lord, they would desire to be the kind of woman that You describe in Scripture. I pray for the men in our congregation that, Lord, we would support and praise and encourage in every way that vision for our wives and for our daughters. I pray for young men in this congregation that, Lord, they would have as their standard when they think about and pray for a helper for the rest of their lives, that they would think about the picture that is set before us in a passage like this one. Teach us, Lord, and then by Your power and by Your grace, lead us to walk in what we learn. And we know that in this way Your Word will not be reviled, but You will be glorified and our lives will be blessed. Lord, keep us from the devil's lies that would tell us that we'll find some sort of joy and some sort of satisfaction when we go our own way when it comes to family life. But Lord, help us to know instead we find great blessing and joy and sweetness when we embrace the truth. Your church, Lord, is the pillar and the support of the truth. Work in this congregation so that that is going to be the case for a watching world when it comes to the issues of marriage and family, when it comes to the matters of masculinity and femininity, biblical manhood and womanhood. Lord, let us live out these things. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.